Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister, and we are going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the first and I think only season of Good Omens, which was on Amazon Prime in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an adaptation of the Neil Gaiman book from 1990.
Yeah, that
and he co-wrote it with Terry Pratchett.
That sounds right. They both have credits on there.
I never read the book.
Neither did I.
I knew it existed. And I'll be honest, a lot of what got me interested in the Amazon Prime series was David Tennant being in it.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't realized that Michael McKean from Laverne and Shirley and Clue and Smallville and numerous other things was also in it. He did a great job.
He did.
Michael Sheen was also in it. I'm trying to think what else I've seen him in. I know he's a big name, but not one that I think I've seen a lot of.
Not one I recognize.
But an angel and a demon essentially teaming up to save the world from the Antichrist that they lost. Interesting premise.
Mm-hmm.
And these were, it was six episodes, and they were about an hour apiece.
One or two of them, there kind of came a point where I'm like, wait, in a normal TV episode, we'd be at the end point. It feels like...
It felt like it kept going.
Yeah.
Not that it was too long. But again, we're so accustomed to that roughly 42-minute pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of the other shows that are streaming and stuff, you'll have some that go, you know, 56 minutes, but then you'll have a few that go about, you know, 42 or 40 or, you know, with Mandalorian 35.
Yeah.
So I did think this had a lot going on with it.
Yes.
And I felt each episode covered enough ground that it wasn't like we were, you know, just a sixth of the way into a really long movie or something.
Well, and for the most part, it had a really good sense of humor. I mean, I don't enjoy painful sense mm-hmm. of humor, but like at one point, we've flashed back to Noah's Ark, and we've got the demon saying, oh, one of the unicorns is getting away. Oh, well, never mind. You lost it.
Yeah, yeah. There were a couple of times when they do some of the flashbacks, I thought that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they built up the relationship between Crowley and Aziraphale, you know, over the eons and stuff pretty well.
Yeah.
Overall, I liked the cast. It was a couple of people I was familiar with because I've watched QI, which is a panel show over in the UK, and a lot of British actors here.
Yeah.
So there were a few people I recognized, a few others not so much. And they had a couple of different threads going. You know, what's going on with the Antichrist, what's going on with the witch finder and witch hunters and the witch and stuff like that. What's going on with, you know, heaven, what's going on with hell, what's going on with, you know, the demon and the angel we're following. Yet it never felt like we got lost or we drifted too far away.
Didn't we actually see the moment or get told why Crowley fell?
No. I was going to say I thought it was because he was the serpent, but by then he'd already fallen.
That's what I thought.
We never got any of the backstory on that first heaven-hell kind of schism.
And, I mean, the reason I ask is because kind of from the moment we're meeting these characters, it's clear Aziraphale has not given up on Crowley
mm-hmm.
and still sees the good in him. And it's kind of, you're not as bad as you want others to think. You know, this, that, and the other. And, I mean, there comes a point where I think it's when we were in the Shakespeare flashback, where there's almost the, I'll flip a coin for it, and I forget exactly how they do the divvy it up, but it's kind of only one of us actually needs to make the trip.
Well, they realized they were kind of counterbalancing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of wasted effort. So if they were to just kind of, you know, come to an agreement.
Yes.
And they built that over time to where it's not just, oh, okay, let's do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fun because it could have easily been a story of an angel getting corrupted while a demon was getting redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that. But there was a definite yin-yang, each having a little of the other in them, too.
No one's perfect.
Mm-hmm. perfectly good or perfectly bad.
Yeah. No one is without fault. No one is without, no one is immune to temptation.
Yeah. Well, and even, you know, the people of heaven and stuff, you know, itching for a fight and stuff, which you could argue is perhaps not angelic.
Yes.
And even a few things here and there that were a little telegraphed, like when we got that final prophecy and how they kind of get out of trouble from having stopped the end times and stuff. We saw it coming, but it still played out fun and played out well.
Mm-hmm.
And because really, I think maybe the last half of that last episode was epilogue-ish.
There was a lot of wrapping up. I mean, when you think about the number of characters they wrapped up. They wrapped up Adam Young,
mm-hmm.
the Antichrist, who managed to have such control of reality that he un-Antichristed himself.
Not entirely. Because when the dog goes out...
But that's the Hellhound.
Oh, he's telling the Hellhound...
The Hellhound did that to the tree and did what it wanted to do.
Took it as he was doing it and making it happen.
He was talking to the Hellhound.
Yeah, but just like he was talking to Satan. I think it could be read either way.
By then, they said he had made himself human. And he had made the humans his parents.
Yeah,
that's what they told us. But nothing had been changed about the Hound.
True, true. I just took it as, well, maybe he wasn't as changed as they thought. Again, I can see both readings being valid. But we got him wrapped up. We got the main witch hunter and the Jezebel, you know, those two wrapped up. We got Anathema and what was that witch hunter's name? Pulsiver.
Pulsiver.
Those two got wrapped up. Obviously, you know, the angel and the demon got wrapped up. We got pretty good endgame for heaven and hell.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
The four horsemen of the apocalypse. We kind of saw what happened to them.
Yeah. Well, the delivery guy.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, there were quite a few recurring characters. And again, a lot going on. And the fact that they spent so much time with an epilogue kind of thing. And it's not feeling like, okay, you've told the story. Ended already.
Well, and when we went back to Adam Young, his three friends showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I loved the kind of the, how long are you grounded for? Years and years. Well, this is happening tomorrow. Oh, don't worry. My parents will have forgotten about it by then.
Yeah. Yeah. It may feel like forever, but it won't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody got gracefully kind of, you know, taken off stage
mm-hmm.
without either overdoing it or whatever happened to.
Now, with Anathema and the Junior Witch Hunter, technically we saw them burn the title page of the next Book of Prophecies.
The implication was they were burning the whole thing, but there would be nothing to stop in, you know, a Season 2 or Good Omens 2, them to say, yeah, they decided not to.
Yeah, because they burn the title page, and then they look over their shoulder and they see Adam.
Yeah.
So there was room for second thoughts.
Oh, absolutely.
But I did like the beginning of a conversation or opening the door to the conversation of, do you want to spend your entire life as a descendant, bound by these prophecies, this book, by all this means, or do you want to chart your own path and be your own person?
Yeah, man, I'm glad I don't have to make that kind of decision.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to be bound by the prophecy, but man, I'd feel pretty stupid if I'd taken the whole prophecies and burned them all.
Yeah. Well, especially given what we've seen of the prophecies.
Everyone, while cryptic, came true.
Well, and they were, I want to say, big and small in terms of invest in Apple computers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lot of, I'm ensuring your financial stability so you can do this type prophecies.
I do think there's a story to be had of a similar such book of prophecies, but they are not the least bit cryptic. You don't know why, but it's telling you very flat, at this time, at this day, do this. Go to this block, put this meter, you know, coin in the meter, or, you know, whatever.
That's funny, because I was actually thinking it'd be hilarious if it's, you know, go to this place this time and trip and fall.
And it's the same sort of thing, but something very explicit, not something of, you know, invest in Apple.
Something explicit but sounds foolish.
Yes.
Was my point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just how many times do we have in stories you know, the Oracle at Delphi kind of a thing of, you know, two shall meet and there shall be a great victory and a great defeat.
Yeah.
Okay, but who wins? You know, and you read into it, or it's only clear after the fact, oh, Apple Computer I should have bought into, not, you know, Apple Orchards or...
Yeah.
You know, but if again, it was something that was crystal clear and unmistakable, it's just, do I do it or not? Because I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I did think that the losing of the book, they made a big deal of, yet it never seemed to matter because she had the whole, you know, index cards of the whole thing.
Okay, I got really upset about the index cards because at one point it looks like a tornado comes through the room with the index cards. They're all strewn about. They haphazardly gather them together. They are in no semblance of order, much less right side up, front side. And then it's grab a random index card and that's the next one we obey.
Yeah, it's not just prophecy, but there's a true magic to it being the right one.
Yeah.
Because again, the one scrap out of the book that Aziraphale gets or whatever happens to be the prophecy he needs.
Yeah.
That goes beyond the what are the odds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because during the course of the story, while it does feel a little far-fetched, it never, even feeling far-fetched, got to the point where I'm thinking, oh, come on.
Well, no, because Aziraphale is owed a miracle or two.
Well, even when Anathema is pulling the random prophecy and it's the right one, they sold it in the story.
Yeah.
You know?
I loved when the angel is saying, I can't miracle it for myself, and the demon feels bad for him and does it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's just, there was humor like that that tickled my funny bone throughout.
Well, there was the kind of an odd couple dynamic.
Yes, definitely.
And I thought those two actors really played well off each other, and it was both well written and well performed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it never felt, oh geez, they're trying to do shtick, or you know, they're trying to be an odd couple kind of a thing.
I liked in the final episode when they went back to the park and there were what kind of sort of seemed to be diplomats, spies, whatever they were, comparing on the whole what had recently happened. And it felt an awful lot like when the angel and the demon were on the same bench, comparing notes about their sides.
It was funny because I think in that earlier scene, the voiceover from God is this park is known as the place where these things happen.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of funny. And there were a lot of things, and I noticed this in later episodes with the opening credits, which is almost a Monty Python-esque, cartoonish kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
How many Easter eggs and references to the story were in there that at first it's like, okay, they got kind of stylish for the opening credits. I get it. And then as I'm watching later, it's like, oh, that was the alien we saw at this point. This is the monster we see at that point.
They seemed to be adding more as we went on. It's kind of like after we saw Noah's Ark, they added Noah's Ark.
I'd have to go back and rewatch.
Interesting.
Because I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm just not 100% certain. Because it never felt like the credits were getting longer.
Right. Just more detailed to me.
Yeah. I'm curious if there was if they did indeed expand it or add more to it over time, or if it was literally the same thing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, again, after an hour of this, you know, there's a lot to absorb, and then it's, okay, now we're back to, you know, starting the new episode. And we watched this in three sittings?
Yes.
We watched the first two episodes one night, three the next night, and then due to extenuating circumstances, 2 weeks later tonight, the final one.
Yes.
And if anyone's curious what those extenuating circumstances are, I'm recording this the night after I recorded the Endless Winter episode that went up this morning, detailing the horrific ice and snow conditions we had here in Austin, Texas.
The state of Texas was closed for 10 days.
Yeah. So we were waiting to watch the end of the world when it almost happened. So it's funny because normally that kind of a delay of 2 weeks after rapid succession of stuff, when watching a six-episode series like this, would have been, okay, where did we leave off?
Yeah.
But they left off usually on fairly strong moments, certainly in that fifth episode, when they picked up on the sixth, it's like, okay, we're going somewhere else, but oh, we're going to get back to this. And then when they did, it's like, yes, I remember that car driving down the runway.
Yes, yes.
Again, some great visuals.
Yes. Yeah.
And stuff that the writing here had an almost Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy kind of a thing. Because, you know, he's driving, he's stuck on the M5, the M5's messed up because of stuff he'd done earlier. And that kind of almost self-referential thing, I'm not going to say it's classically British, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it resonates with various British things I've encountered.
Yeah, some of his demonic acts were simply to create frustration,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was an interesting take on it.
Well, and some of them, it's, did he really do it, or did he just say he did it?
Yes.
And then, of course, the bit with the M25 or whatever, he actually did, because it comes to fruition.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, I like it. And again, it's based on a novel. So, you know, I like it when they've got things that play out later that were well set up and kind of, you know, seeded or watered throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typical more so of a novel than of a TV show or other things.
Yeah.
And again, Neil Gaiman's a very talented writer, so not the least bit surprising.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if they'll do another season.
I'd like to see them do that. I would think they would need a good story to do that. I don't know if in the 30 years since the book was published, if a sequel was done.
It felt like they set up some possibilities
mm-hmm.
towards the end. And it seems like given when it aired, or came out technically, but it feels like it would have gone back into production in 2020, except, oops, the world closed down.
Yeah.
So it seems like COVID is more why we have no idea than anything else.
Yeah, and I haven't gone to look to see if there was any talk of doing a second season or something.
Yeah, and there were, I mean, as much as there were scenes where it's just, okay, there are four people, there's only, you know, and lots of social distance, there was also a lot of crowd scenes.
Yes, quite a few.
And I think that really helped in a lot of cases. A lot of the hell scenes, for instance, just the huge crowds mm-hmm. there, a lot of the... Well,
not only huge crowds, but huge crowds in makeup.
Yes.
The full, you know, demonic prosthetics and stuff.
Yeah.
They did not spare expense on the production of this.
No. Well, and like when we were back at Noah's Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Period setting, huge crowd to give sense of scale of what was being, or about to be, flooded away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and sense of scale, the number of people on set, the set design.
Mm-hmm.
The virtual set design in some cases, whether they were literally virtual sets or just added after the fact. Again, Noah's Ark, stuff like that. The wardrobe and the costuming was well done.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly it's a production that was of high enough quality and fun enough to watch that if they did a second season, it'd be, yeah, I definitely want to watch that. I would just want to know what story would they, could they, or should they tell that would justify.
I think what they started that was intriguing to me was Aziraphale and Crowley of, what if we're on our own side?
Well, they're on their own side, and then Crowley suggesting that the big one may be heaven and hell against humanity.
Yeah.
So they definitely tossed out a potential, you know, clash or whatever for a second season.
Not just a clash, but it's a change in mindset.
Mm-hmm.
For both Aziraphale and Crowley, instead of avoiding being seen as working together, being able to openly work together, and instead of officially having the same goals, known to be having the same goals, if you know what I mean. It's
well, and instead of being de facto and undercover go-betweens between heaven and hell, or a buffer, if you will, they could be a very visible buffer between heaven and hell and humanity.
Yeah.
So they definitely set up some interesting dynamics that could logically progress into a second season with those two.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, would you bring back Adam and his friends at all? I don't think you need to. If you do, I would do it as, you know, an 11th hour reveal at the climax of the story.
I was just thinking that, and I was thinking you would do that because they have a trained hellhound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you basically would bring him in thinking, oh, they've got the Antichrist. He's going to come to... No, just his dog.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Would you bring in the witch hunters?
Not the senior level, but the younger one and Anathema, if they've kept the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if they haven't, it's a book of true prophecies. If they burned it, the person who wrote the prophecies would know that they burned it.
Yeah.
So they'd get a second one.
Yeah.
Or a third one.
That would actually be hilarious if one of those boxes was showing up every month, wherever they were in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That would be hilarious.
They go on their honeymoon somewhere and they check in. Oh, we have a package for you.
Yes.
It's the strangest thing. I know you just walked in out of the blue, but we've been expecting you.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, kind of a, you cannot avoid this.
Well, especially if it was genuinely a walked in out of the blue, as in they made no reservation. They went to the airport, took the first available flight.
They took a flight, it got canceled, they got grounded somewhere, they got stuck here, they, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And what I would do is the first hotel they go into, we'd like to check in, a name, yeah, oh, we've got a reservation, we didn't make a reservation, we didn't know what it would be, we've got this for you. They see the box, they turn around, they leave. They go into another hotel, same thing.
Yes.
Turn around, go out. The third or fourth hotel, finally, and it's a penthouse suite kind of a thing. Okay, we'll stay this time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things they could make work.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there's not a book to base it on, as long as Neil Gaiman was contributing some ideas and guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, not having read the book, I don't know how true of an adaptation this was or not, or how successful of an adaptation it was. What I can say is, not having read the book, I really enjoyed the show.
Yeah, me too.
Now, do I feel the need to go read the book? No, not really. I mean, I don't know what I would get out of that I didn't get out of watching it.
For me, it's more most of what I know about his writing is that it tilts towards horror.
I wouldn't say his writing necessarily tilts towards horror. More supernatural and that kind of stuff, certainly. I guess for me, I don't know that the kind of character interaction we got here, which worked for me because of both the writing and the performance of it,
mm-hmm.
how well that would work on the printed page.
I can understand that, yeah.
You know, I don't know if I would have gotten as much out of the book as I got out of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny, because if I read the book, I would definitely be hearing the actors.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, with the caliber they got, it would be hard not to.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked was, you know, having followed David Tennant through his Doctor Who run, having seen him on Jessica Jones and stuff, when I was watching him here, it's not like I was seeing the Doctor.
Yeah.
You know, there was an aspect, I'm seeing David Tennant.
But a very unique character.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I thought this was a ton of fun and well worth watching.
I agree. I'm glad we watched it.
Again, 6 hours, Amazon Prime. Not a huge time investment.
Mm-mm.
But I would not say you could do it necessarily in a single 6-hour block. I mean, you could, but I think it's a lot to take in.
Yeah. That's how I felt.
This is one where there's some shows where I need the time between episodes to kind of chew on it, figure out where I think they ought to go, where they're going, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And others where it's like, no, I can just blast through it or something. Or some where it's like, man, I've watched enough, I've just got to step away from it. We've watched a few shows like that. Underground was one where, yeah, good show, but heavy.
Yes.
Subject matter and stuff. Here, it was neither heavy nor light subject matter, but it was one where, because there was so much story in it, after about 3 episodes, it's like, okay, let's pause and move to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, but still, well worth watching, ton of fun, highly recommended. Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.